You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, Larissa here from the Salon Owners Collective. Now, how many times have you wasted trying to get a good shot for your Instagram because you can't quite seem to get the angle right that you think that you look your best? Or how about the number of times you've stuffed multiple baked goods in the back room into your mouth only to be swallowed by a wave of guilt afterwards? Or your mind wanders off to think about your next food intake while working on the client because you were famished. Distraction, guilt, obsession, it's got to stop. My guests on this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast explain when you're fixated on food that you're consuming and the way that your body looks, you're blocking yourself from living an ultimate life of freedom. And although I primarily talk about freedom in the context of time and finances, you can't truly love a free life without your health, but also what you spend your time focusing on. And when you can move past those blocks of obsession over food and body, you become healthier, not only physically, but also mentally and spiritually. You'll be able to actually show up for your business, for your team, and for your clients. Join me and my guests, Lauren and Jenna, on the Body Love Society as we discuss what it takes to relinquish control over our outlook on food and body to create space for love, acceptance, and freedom. Let's jump right into my chat with Lauren and Jenna. Lauren, Jenna, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you join us.
We're glad to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Well, look, let's kick off things with let us know where you are in the world, what it is that you do, and how you came to be doing what it is that you're doing. Tell us your story. Take us into your world.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Jenna, and I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Lauren is in Los Angeles. And we met online when I was doing an interview series about ditching the diet and body acceptance, and we kind of kicked things off from there 2 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so you're living the remote life from each other and building a business. So tell us a little bit about the business that the two of you have together and its purpose.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll jump in there. So we do group coaching for women. And what we help them with is just to stop obsessing about food all day, end binge eating, and just really feel free around food so they can go live their lives and still feel good in their bodies. So we created something called the Undiet, and that's what our women go through. And they come out feeling, you know, good about themselves. They have more self-worth. They learn all about self-care, but also to have a really good relationship with food and their body.
Yeah, and that definitely, I know that would relate to your listeners, because even when Lauren and I went through that journey ourselves, is we, like, all our time is taken up by dieting and worrying about food and worrying about the way we looked and weighing ourselves and doing those workout programs. And in our own journey out of that, we actually built businesses because we had so much time. when you're not thinking about food and you just eat when you're hungry and it's not a big deal and you move on and you can move your body when you want to, but it's not an obsession and you're not worrying all the time about the way you look, you can really put yourself out there. You can, and that's what we've done, is we're now always on Facebook Lives and posting pictures, and nothing ever has to be perfect. You just get to take action and have so much more time to do important things like building businesses that are fulfilling and exciting.
So this is really interesting to me, because I have recognized this when our brains are fully focused or obsessed, as you say, on something, whatever it be, a negative thing or a positive thing, it can be all consuming and it can really chew up a lot of time, which is kind of what you said, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we... It's not always visible from the outside. Mm. You might not even realize how much of your time is being taken up, because if you're sitting there technically working but distracted because you're so hungry or thinking about that ice cream in your freezer and not being able to get things done, it might not seem like it's taking up that much time or being that big of a deal. But once that's completely out of your head and you're not worried, you're not thinking about food until you're hungry, you're confident in your body, you're not wondering if your shirt is sitting the right way or if that picture was just perfect, it really does give you like hours in your day. It's amazing.
Yeah. If you actually look at it like a pie chart, we've done this before, pretty much the whole circle is taken up, in our case for our women, is food and body. And there's only tiny, tiny little slivers to actually focus on what they really care about, which is, you know, family and kids or spouses or career, you know, running your business, the social life. There is really, and of course, adding in self-care, there's such tiny slivers to focus on that, that that's what you actually want to focus on. But you're stuck obsessing over, you know, in our case, food and body, and the whole pie chart is just kind of off, if you want to say it like that. And what we do is we help women kind of create a new pie chart for themselves. And it's all, you know, it doesn't have to be directly equal, but it's all, you're all able to focus on all areas, and really get in the social life, the career, building the business, but of course, focusing on self-care, because that's so important to, you know, be able to do things for yourself and fill your cup each day so you have the energy to work for your clients and do all the things that you want to do and put food and body in its place. You know, you can still have some focus on it, but it doesn't take up your entire life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. What a great purpose to be able to help people do that. So why don't you, I would love to hear some, you know, what are some of the things that are the blocks? What are the things that stops us? What if our listeners can recognize that this is a pattern that they're running, what suggestions do you have that also, that they can make a change? Like, how do you get started on this journey? I'm sure it's a journey.
It definitely is. I think first and foremost, realizing no matter how you look physically, if you are not happy with who you are, no amount of weight loss, no amount of looking a certain way, no amount of eating perfectly is going to get you to that confidence you want. So really realizing that it is about mindset, regardless of where your body's at. If you do the mindset work to get to a place of, wow, I feel good as I am, regardless of the way my body looks or regardless of what I ate today, that is the only true way to achieve kind of that ease and being able to put the thoughts of food and body in the background where they belong, instead of it being a big thing you're worrying about. And especially when you're running a business, like I could not imagine having the stress I had around food and body and business all at one time. Like my business came up after I got over that. So to really put the emphasis on like, okay, it's about the way I'm thinking, not about what I'm eating, not about what I weigh. That's not the real issue. Because I'm sure some of the women listening, if you have been on weight loss journeys before, or you're in that diet cycle, even if you do lose the weight, there's just, okay, well maybe 10 pounds more, or maybe if I just tone this up, or, oh, if only my legs were smaller, or there's always going to be something that you don't like and that you're obsessing, focusing on, spending all your time thinking about. So it really is about thinking a different way, regardless of what your body looks like, regardless of your, even if you think, but I wish I could lose weight, that's fine. But if the mindset isn't there, you'll never be content no matter what size you are.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting to me that, you know, I'm recognizing this more and more that, you know, it's always mindset first, before the tactical or the tangible, getting our head straight. What's something that our women can start with in terms of mindset? What would you say would be a good place to get one's mindset in place around food and body?
I think it's really just checking like where your beliefs are and where your thoughts are going. So, you know, a lot of women have the diet mentality. That's where it comes from. and we have all these rules on how you should see food and eat food, and seeing food as, you know, bad and wrong or good. You're, you know, a lot of women think, oh, I'm a good person for eating the salad, but I'm a really bad person for eating the pizza or the donut or whatever it is. And really being aware of the thoughts that you have and what you're telling yourself each day. So in order to shift those, that mindset is to, I guess, for example, it's to shift the belief around food being good and bad. If you can get your mindset to see food as neutral, or, you know, something that sparks joy and you're eating just because it satisfies you and you love it, you're going to start seeing food a lot differently if you're coming from a place of love when you're eating and not from a place of fear. And it's just really stripping down that diet culture. And we were told that food is either good or bad, but who says that's actually true? So it's really becoming aware of those thoughts, really asking yourself, what do I believe? And then shifting those beliefs in a way that really feels good to you.
Well, what's really interesting is this the fact that we put our whole self-worth on the actions that we take or what choices that we make, whether it's a pizza or a salad. And our whole self-worth is laid upon this salad and this pizza. It seems a very heavy weight for a piece of food.
Yes, where absolutely.
What you're saying is it's not about that. You know, you are not your choices.
And you're not your body really as well. Like whether you're in a fat body or a thin body or a medium sized body, it doesn't matter. You can still feel good. You can still care about your wellness and your health, but it doesn't have to be obsessive. And a huge part of that, since we're talking about mindset, which really is the focus of our work, is in mindset. The number one dieting mindset that people have, which trickles out into all areas of our lives, is the all or nothing mindset. So if you do have that salad every day for lunch, I'm being so good, I'm so good, oh, this is so great. And then by Saturday, the biology is very interesting, but you're so hungry that you cannot resist anymore. You eat a whole pizza, you feel like crap, and you're like, well, I've wrecked my diet, may as well go crazy. And then all weekend, you're eating everything you can find. And then, okay, I'm going to start again on Monday, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to do it really good this time. And that is the all or nothing thinking of like, okay, I had some pizza. Well, that's fine for dinner. Maybe a chicken salad actually sounds good because I'm not very hungry. And instead of that ebb and flow with food or movement or our bodies, it's like, okay, I either have to be perfect or screw it, who cares? And I'll start again next week. And that mentality is what keeps people stuck. It's what keeps people obsessed. It's what makes nothing sustainable. When we go on a diet, it's not sustainable because of that huge reaction of all or nothing and never finding that gray area that we really teach people to find, where you can have it all. Like I've gone to a boxing class and then met my husband for Mexican food right after, and it's not like, oh, I've ruined it now, so I may as well go crazy. It's like you enjoy your meal and then you carry on with your day without it sending you into a spiral.
Mm-hmm. And so is that about creating space or leaving space for, what do you call it, enjoyment?
Yes, that's huge. Flow, enjoyment, and a big piece that we do teach on is separating food, your body, and movement. So just because you went to the gym doesn't mean you now have to try to eat perfectly after, or just because you eat a salad doesn't mean if you don't go to your workout, you're horrible. Like they don't, and just because you ate a pizza doesn't now mean you've gained 50 pounds and you're really gross. Like it's, if you can disconnect the three, like, wow, my body is perfect just the way it is, regardless of what I ate today, regardless of how I worked out today. When I eat something, it doesn't mean I now have to go work it off. When I go to the gym, it doesn't mean when I eat a cookie after it was all pointless. And really separating them so that you can enjoy feeling good in your body and moving your body and eating certain things without it spiraling into like everything has to be perfect or everything is horrible.
I love that, giving yourself permission to separate those things and they are not connected.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. All right. What about, I've got a quick question for you. What can we do when we have the cravings? Because this is the thing, right? People have cravings and we must, and we have to rely on willpower to give in or not give in. Do you have any good tips around overcoming those?
Yeah, so I'll just start off by saying, I'm going to let Jenna touch on the willpower because she has a really great thing to touch on that. But just to start off, it's really honoring your cravings. Like when you have them, what you resist persists. So if you're craving the chocolate or whatever it is that you love and you can't stop thinking about it over and over and over, and you just keep thinking, if I just, you know, keep it away or keep it out of my house, or I just don't, you know, I just resist, it's just going to stay there, and it's just going to create this really unhealthy relationship with food. So we really teach our women to honor your cravings. And of course, there's a lot to this, because if you have been resisting chocolate for decades and then all of a sudden you're just like, you know, caving into your craving, of course, you're probably not going to have a very positive experience. But once you start allowing all food, you're not making food, you know, bad or good. You're getting to a place where you are allowing it. And when a craving does pop up, you simply go and honor the craving. And when you do eat, since I keep talking about chocolate, when you are eating the chocolate, you stay present, you breathe, you taste it. Like you literally are honoring your body. And it's not like, okay, I'm just going to eat it really fast and eat as much as I can and just like make it go away. It's like having a positive experience as you're eating the chocolate. And when you are in this positive, loving state of honoring your cravings, then it's really going to it's gonna sit differently in your body, because if you're eating with love, if you're eating with guilt and shame, your body doesn't know if like it's going under attack, or it doesn't know that you're just eating chocolate. It thinks that you're like in survival mode, like your body starts to shut down when there's guilt and shame. So that's why it's really important to eat food in just a loving manner, in a place where you're okay. And just having that overall feeling of I can eat this and I'm allowed and there's nothing wrong with doing this. So it's just important it's the mindset and then the physical allowance of being okay to eat this food and honor your cravings.
I bet somewhere, before we talk about willpower, I bet somewhere that process actually means that people eat less.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can literally have, and that's never the point. We always want to reiterate, like, the point of doing this work and stopping dieting and listening to your body. A lot of what we do is intuitive eating and mindset work on top of that, but is never about eating less or losing weight. It's just about honoring your body. And sometimes that's going to mean eating more. Sometimes that's going to mean eating nothing. Sometimes that's going to mean eating less. But overall, yes, when I have a dessert now, I can have a couple bites. I'm like, oh, that felt so good. That was delicious. I'm satisfied now. I'm done. And I don't have to try so hard not to eat at all. Whereas when I was dieting, I was like, okay, I can't have that, can't have that, can't have that, can't have that. And then Saturday comes and I could eat freaking anything. Like, give me the biggest cake and I could eat the whole thing. And I didn't want to stop no matter how sick I felt. So yes, overall, you can just have this sustainable, like, oh, I'm craving some chocolate. Break a little piece off a chocolate bar, enjoy it, and move on with your day. Whereas when you're dieting and thinking, I shouldn't be eating that, I shouldn't be eating that, yes, you'll probably end up eating the whole chocolate bar anyways.
For sure. Yeah, I can see that. All right, tell us a little bit about how willpower plays into that.
Yeah, so the thing is that willpower is, can I say this, bullshit. it is not a thing that we can rely on, especially when it comes to food, because we need willpower to do anything. You need willpower to focus on your business. You need willpower to not snap at that customer. You need willpower to be loving with your partner when they're annoying you. You need willpower to be patient with your children. If you're using all your willpower to avoid that cookie, you have none left for real life. And it is a limited resource. Willpower is not a muscle that the more you use it, the stronger you get. Willpower is a depleting resource. So there's been a lot of studies on that. It's very interesting. So the only way to truly have a good relationship with food in your body, where it's just in the background and you have all this time and energy for your business or for life, is to do the mindset work so willpower is not necessary. I like to give the story of when I was dieting, I would literally find like a stale box of crackers at the box back of my pantry and shovel it in my mouth because I was so hungry, but I wouldn't allow anything in my house because you have to use willpower and you have to resist, and it's so much effort. And then I always say now, like I could literally live in a grocery store and it would not affect the way I eat because I don't have to control myself. I'm just like, oh, I'm not hungry. So food is a non-issue. Like when I'm not hungry, food doesn't even look good. When I am hungry, I enjoy it. I taste it. I allow myself desserts when I want them. I allow myself any carbs that I want. There's nothing off limits. So it's not as exciting and this really big, exciting thing as when you're dieting and you haven't had a carb for freaking 3 days, like that piece of bread looks like the best thing in the world. So it's amazing when you do the mindset work, you don't need willpower anymore. Like I don't have to resist anything because I can have everything. And once you actually say like, okay, Jenna, you can have that whole box of cookies if you want them. Once you're allowed, it's kind of like, oh, well that would not feel good. So no, thank you. But if we're like rebellious teenagers, if someone's like, you can't have any cookies, you're like, I've never wanted cookies so bad in my life. So that willpower, like if you're relying on willpower for what you're eating or to focus, like to honor your health with willpower, it's always going to end in either binging or overeating or the all or nothing mindset. So getting to a place where it's not necessary is the only way to true freedom. Around
we talk
that.
About a lot here, true freedom. Love it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Lauren, what were you going to say there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and I can just hear your listeners saying, but if I eat the chocolate or I allow myself to have what I want, I will never stop. And I just want to reiterate that if you allow, you actually can listen to your body. So we're not suggesting to just, you know, go eat all the things and like that's all you do forever and you just feel like crap. Like the point is when you do allow and you get to a place where you're actually listening to your body, like it's not using your head anymore. You're not listening to diet rules or, you know, you're not saying in your head how bad you are for doing this. When you're eating it, you're listening to what's going on in your body and your body will give you signals that you're done. So that's how you get to a point where you can have the chocolate and you can stop when you're satisfied and feel good and move on.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, that's really good. Now, this has been so interesting. Now, before we wrap up, I have a final question, and that is just a quick thought around raising children in healthy habits, because I'm pretty certain that as the parent, your behavior rubs off on your children or the words that we choose. What are your thoughts around raising healthy habits for children?
I would say what truly rubs off is not you should eat your vegetables, clear your plate, it's healthy to eat vegetables. Like kids don't give a crap about that. What really rubs off on kids is your relationship with food. If you, especially as a mother, if you're always eating a separate meal from your children, they see that, oh, mommy doesn't have the bread like we do. Bread is bad. Bread is wrong. So then they grow up thinking, oh, carbs are bad or desserts are bad or sugar's bad. And they will so soon, whether they're 14 or 25, at some point, they're going to be in that diet cycle. They're going to be struggling with food. They're going to be binge eating. They're going to have a shame and guilt around food. Kids are all born intuitive eaters. They just listen to their bodies. That's why it's so amazing. I used to work for a daycare and the 3-year-old would have one bite of a cookie and leave it and go play and never come back. They're like, I don't care. It's just food. But they get taught, oh, this is good, this is bad. You have to eat your vegetables to earn your ice cream. And it's like, oh, vegetables are crappy and ice cream is really good. Okay, I'll learn that now. If you truly allow your children to remain neutral with food, not teaching them that it's really bad to have cake and it's really good to eat your broccoli, and actually just offer them food and allow them to explore food and allow them to feel what it feels like and teach them to, oh yeah, listen to your body. Are you full? Are you hungry? And if they say they're full, honoring that instead of just 3 more bites, that teaches them. We're dealing with women who are 50 years old that are still can't leave food on the plate because their mothers told them to clear their plate. Like, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, golly. Doesn't that just run so deep, really?
Yeah.
Really. All right. This has been amazing. This is so interesting. So you are both business owners, though, of course. Do you have a quote or a mantra or something that you kind of live by? Like, what drives you guys as business owners?
Absolutely. So we actually thought about this because we knew you were going to ask that question. We're like, well, what is our thing that we are always considering as we move forward? Because, of course, there's always hard times in every business. And what we really came to was something that we teach our clients, actually, is like, the choice is mine, and empowerment in that. So instead of, oh, I have to keep running this business, or now I'm stuck with this business, or this is so hard. I wish I, because sometimes it's like, oh, I wish I could just go have a normal job and there's not so much pressure. But if you sit in that, like, have to or should or can't, then you kind of always dream of, like, what could be different. But if you really realize the choice is mine, I do not have to be here. I could shut down my business tomorrow if I wanted to. I could go get a job. Okay, now that the actual choices are there, okay, do you want to keep running your business and keep trying and keep moving forward? Or do you want to stop and go get that job? Because those options are there. You don't have to keep being an entrepreneur. Just like dieting, you don't have to eat that salad. Okay, you can eat the whole box of cookies. Now, what do you really want? What's truly going to be self-honoring? What's going to be fulfilling? And when you make all the choices okay, then you can kind of choose a bit more lovingly. Because even Lauren and I, when you have tough times, it's like, oh, I wish I just had a normal job and it would be so much less stress. It's like, okay. Lauren might say, okay, Jenna, you can go get an office job tomorrow. I'm like, oh God, no, I don't want to do that. And it keeps you in the mindset of, like, no, I'm choosing this and re-choosing what you really want every single day, even when it's hard.
Yeah, I really like that. It changes the whole perspective, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us, what is a book you've read recently, maybe a webinar or a podcast? What's a good resource that all business owners that should get amongst that you can recommend? And maybe you've got one from your own program that you can share.
Yeah, well, we actually do have a podcast of our own, and that is called How to Love Your Body. So we go through all things, body related, food related, but also a lot of self-worth and self-love, and how you can create more time for yourself, because you truly deserve it. So that's called How to Love Your Body.
All right. Absolutely. I shall put the link to that in the show notes of this. And yes, please, Jenna, what can you suggest?
I was just thinking of something like outside of the food and body stuff. If people are looking for more business related, almost even just the personal development stuff, like me and Lauren have been grappling with and teaching around Byron Katie's, like, loving what is, which is just accepting reality as it is today and then moving forward powerfully from there. Because we can, especially as business owners and women in bodies, we can always think, oh, if I wish I had that, or I wish I had this, and never staying in your own lane and being grateful for where you're at today, and allowing yourself to do that will actually, ironically, when you're not worried about the future and you're accepting of what is, then you can move forward more powerfully in your business, with your body and your confidence, all of those things.
All right. I love that. Well, look, we've talked about some amazing things. The key takeaways for me are, you know, you are not your body. You are not your food. Separating yourself from your food or from your actions and getting really comfortable with who you are and dealing with your mindset. That was a really clear message there. And then it's not this all or nothing mentality, and separating, giving yourself permission to separate yourself from the actions that you take. From the one bite of a pizza does not equal 4 hours at a gym. Like, these things are separate and not together. So I love that you give people permission to do that. We also talked about cravings and willpower, and in fact, we need our willpower. Don't push our willpower away. And we touched on managing guilt and shame, and of course, leading our children by the words that we use, and really just showing them how to do it by our own actions, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the big takeaways for me, and I really appreciate those insights. I think you guys are doing an amazing job. So why don't you share with us, where can our listeners find you? What's your socials and your dub?
Absolutely. See, we can be found at www.thebodylovesociety.com. Like Lauren mentioned, we have our podcast, How to Love Your Body. We're on Instagram at The Body Love Society and Facebook as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me from the other side of the world, from where I am, different places in the world even. I appreciate your time, and it's been great catching up.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in into this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. And thank you so much, Lauren and Jenna, for sharing your wisdom with us. I can't wait to hear about some of the mindset and perspective shifts that are going to come as a result of this interview. I really love the way that the girls broke down the blocks behind what they're thinking, and what we're thinking about our food and our bodies, and how we can shift from a place of obsession and into a place of love and true freedom. Because when we can move past those blocks, we not only become healthier physically, but also mentally and spiritually. And we'll be able to show up for our business, our team, and our clients. While there are many facets of creating a life and a business filled with freedom and profit, of course, you can't truly maximize those things without your health. It's so, so crucial. So to connect with Lauren and Jenna at the Body Love Society, head to the link in description of this episode and go to the full show notes, where we will have their links, as well as the option to sign up and download the free Freedom and Profit guide that I have created just for you. Thanks again for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.